Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome into the Bulls Talk Podcast. We're only about a month away from NBA training camps opening and a lot of excitement building throughout the Midwest, where teams feeling like we finally got a shot now that LeBron James, the Wicked Witch of Cleveland, has headed off to the Los Angeles Lakers. Joining me for this week's edition of the show is Dennis Krause. He's the Milwaukee Bucks radio analyst for WTMJ Radio. Dennis, thanks for joining us. I know it's been a busy offseason throughout the NBA. It's also been very eventful in Milwaukee with the hiring of a new coach and the addition of several new players.
Yeah, and Sunday they had the ribbon cutting for the new Fiserv Forum, which is the Bucks' new arena. So you're right, Mark. It's been a great, very action-packed summer.
Well, you and I worked together in Milwaukee back when they opened the Bradley Center. It's hard to believe they're opening another new arena. Was that, in your mind, critical to keeping the Bucks in Milwaukee?
It was, and I think that the former owner, Senator Herb Kohl, really did a masterful job of handing this franchise off and putting it in the hands of people that were committed to keeping it in Milwaukee. He wanted that. He wanted this to be in the state of Wisconsin. He actually donated $100 million toward the project. This is the former owner. So that that was quite a scene. The thing about the Bradley Center, which was, I don't want to knock it because it was very useful and very important for the city of Milwaukee, but as you know, it was really built for hockey.
Right.
Lloyd Pettit, the former Blackhawks announcer, and his wife, Jane Bradley Pettit, donated that facility, but it was with the intent of trying to get an NHL team here. So the arena was structured more to be hockey-friendly. This Fiserv Forum is a great basketball facility.
Now, are Marquette and the Admiral still playing at Fiserv, or where are they going to play?
Marquette is going to play there. The Admiral play at what was Mecca. It's now UW-Milwaukee Panther Arena, and the Admirals play there. I think the Bucks, and no one really said this on the record, but the Bucks wanted this to be a basketball-first facility. And while there will be some special, you know, if they get the hockey Final Four or something like that, they would have ice down. But for the most part, they want this to be basketball and concert.
Now, I've seen the arena from the outside. What is it like in the inside? Is it state-of-the-art, pretty impressive?
Yeah, it's been called by people that are more knowledgeable than me the best basketball facility out there. And I know that probably the one that opens next year in San Francisco might top it because that's the way things go. But the thing that I noticed about it in the time that I've been in there is just how open and airy it is. The concourses are so wide. And I think the people of Milwaukee and Wisconsin are really going to like it.
Well, let's talk about the players that will be inhabiting the Fiserv Forum and arenas across the NBA. I want to start out first by somebody who left Milwaukee to join the Chicago Bulls, and that, of course, is Jabari Parker, who grew up in Chicago, has always been very open about his love for the city of Chicago. What is the attitude from folks in Milwaukee about his departure? I know because of the knee injuries, he never reached the potential that he had as the second pick in the draft. Is it mixed emotions about seeing Parker leave?
Yeah, I think that's well put. I think the overwhelming emotion is, gee, they couldn't get anything for the number two pick in the draft. I think there's some disappointment there. I don't think that most people would say that he's a $20 million a year player, but I know where the Bulls are coming from. It's certainly worth the gamble because if he stays healthy, you have a guy who can produce 20 points per game, and those guys aren't easy to find in the NBA. The history of the injuries, the two ACL injuries, obviously kind of sabotaged his future in Milwaukee because it would make it very difficult for the Bucks to have invested long-term in like a five-year deal, not knowing if the knees were going to hold up.
Well, Dennis, as the radio analyst, you've seen just about every one of the games that Jabari Parker played in a Bucks uniform. What do you think the Bulls are getting? Can he still be the player who was the number two pick in the draft, or is he really severely limited because of the two knee injuries he suffered?
I think, you know, as far as if you'd watched the latter part of the playoff series against the Celtics, and for that matter, a lot of the regular season games he played in down the stretch after he came back, the explosiveness was there. And if you didn't know going in the injury history, I don't think you would have said, boy, he really moved slow. So I give him a lot of credit for physically looking up to par. I think he would be the first to tell you that he was emotionally detached from the team early in that Celtics series. And I don't know what changed, but something changed, and he became a different guy as that series went on, and I think was effective. I think another thing that he showed late in that Celtics playoff series is that when he's engaged and when his desire level is high, he can play defense. I mean, he's been much maligned going back to Duke, and I'm sure even his high school days that you covered in Chicago, it's never been his strong point. I'm not saying he's going to be an all-defensive team player. But I think when he puts his mind to it, if he puts his mind to it, he can play a better defense than he has a reputation for.
Well, Dennis, I'm sure you and other media members in Milwaukee had to snicker when they heard the reports of the radio interview that he did after his Welcome to Chicago news conference and said, well, they don't play guys to play defense. And if, you know, if a big-time scorer has it going, there's really nothing you can do. People always say that the defense is 90% or maybe 99% effort, and those comments certainly took some people aback here in Chicago. Was there the feeling during his four seasons in Milwaukee that maybe he wasn't committed mentally on the defensive end?
Yeah, I think that's an accurate statement, and that press conference quote certainly made its way up here,
yeah.
and people had a field day with it. On some level, I understand where he's coming from, but as you know from having covered him in the past, he's a very likable guy, very community-minded. He's not a bad guy by any means, but he is his own man and sometimes his own worst enemy with sometimes the things he says. Or, you know, I thought that when he went on record with his public disenchantment early in the playoff series against the Celtics, I don't think that was wise. I think he should have kept that in-house. It kind of made him a target, I think, you know, for criticism that he was putting himself above the team. And anytime anybody makes a statement like, I deserve this or that kind of rubs me and I'm sure a lot of people the wrong way. But don't get me wrong. If he's healthy, his mind is right in the right situation, and maybe he's found the perfect situation in his hometown with the Bulls, I still think he can be a very effective player.
Was it a bad fit with him and Giannis? Obviously, Giannis has the ball in his hands a lot, and I think that Jabari kind of looks at himself as an isolation, one-on-one scorer who can create his own opportunities. Did they butt heads at all? What was the relationship between those two?
Well, I think, you know, as far as what you could see, it seemed okay. So it wasn't like there was open antagonism between the two, so I never want to portray it that way. But I think the fact of the matter is you had a guy dating back to his high school days in your city there or going to Duke or being the number two pick in the draft. Jabari Parker was used to being the guy. And while he was injured, Giannis became the guy. I mean, Giannis is the guy for the Bucks right now. He's one of the top players in the league. And I think Jabari Parker would never say this publicly, but I think that had to be hard for him to swallow. You know, he wasn't the guy anymore for maybe the first time in his career. And I think that led to some of the breakup with the Bucks, just because there was no question who was going to be the Bucks superstar moving forward. And I think if Jabari couldn't handle that, it's probably best for everybody he go elsewhere.
Well, it was interesting. I know that you mentioned, Dennis, he's very community-minded. He professed his love for the city of Milwaukee on a number of occasions. I remember seeing a video, I think it was the day before he committed to the Bulls, where he was playing a pickup game on a playground in Milwaukee, and he told the cameras, you know, how much he loved the city. Did those comments come across to some in the media or some of the fans as disingenuous on the way out?
I wouldn't say disingenuous. I think there's a segment of the Bucks fandom that is still very, very fond of Jabari Parker and thinks he was extremely sincere in his efforts. and that they lay the blame at the Bucks office for not managing their salary cap situation better, where they could have matched an offer from the Bulls. I mean, the Bulls played this beautifully, in my opinion. They knew there was a certain level the Bucks weren't going to match, and they did that, and they have now a chance to see if Parker stays healthy and blossoms, and if they do, they have found a legit star from a division rival, and it didn't cost them anything more than salary.
And the nice thing, too, is they have a team option on the second year of the contract, so if it doesn't work out, if he doesn't turn out to be a great fit, or for God forbid he gets hurt again, you know, they can walk away from that contract. But I want to ask you, you know, the sport has become so analytics-driven. Every NBA team has a deep analytics department where they break down every aspect of the way players function. And when you look at the defensive analytics, Jabari Parker ranked near the bottom of NBA forwards. And now, not only are the Bulls bringing him into that kind of situation, they're pairing him on the wing with Zach LaVine, who is also analytically one of the worst defensive players in the NBA. And the Bulls are asking Jabari to move from his comfort zone at the power forward spot to the small forward position, where he's going to have to defend quicker players. Are they setting him up to fail by asking him to make this move?
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but I would say this. Your point is extremely well taken, that they're going to be, to put it mildly and politely, defensively challenged. They're going to have to outscore people. And I'm sure that is something that Fred Hoiberg has thought about and knows that they may have to score 120 points per game just to be a 500 team.
You know, it's interesting. Jabari, at his news conference, talked about how excited he was about coming home, and he always dreamed about wearing the Bulls uniform. And homecoming stories are always cool. We've experienced so many of them in our long careers, Dennis, but they don't always work out the way you hoped. You know, you mentioned the fact that Giannis quickly became the man in Milwaukee and Jabari had to take a supporting role. Well, all of a sudden, Lauri Markkanen is emerging as potentially an all-star level player. He's 21 years old. He's got the flowing blonde hair. You know, he's got everything that a marketing team would want. And now the hometown kid comes in, and I'm telling you, from day one, he's going to be taking a backseat to Lauri Markkanen. You think that might be a source of concern for Bulls fans?
Well, I think it could be, but I would say this. I also feel that Jabari Parker has tremendous potential to mature, like all of us do, as you are in different situations and as you get older and more experienced in your profession. I would hope that he would realize that, you know what, in all honesty, I'm probably not looked at like I was before the two ACL injuries. I mean, it's humbling, but it's also reality. And I have to think that if he doesn't say that, you know, his dad, Sonny, or someone will say, hey, you're still very talented, you're still an NBA player, but some things have changed.
And Jabari, I know we're picking at, you know, some of the weaknesses. He is a big-time scorer. I mean, he still has that knack for getting a bucket on his own that made him the second pick in the draft. Would you agree that he's still going to bring that full offensive arsenal here to Chicago?
Yeah, absolutely. His explosiveness around the basket. He had several dunks in his Bucks career that were just terrific. Worked on the three-point shooting. I wouldn't call him a marksman by any means, but I think he's taken that to heart and tried. He knows where the NBA is going, where the three-pointer is so important. So he's worked to become a better outside shooter. I think his mid-range game can be very good. Unfortunately, for a lot of teams, that's kind of a lost art.
If you love baseball, you can't miss NBC Sports Chicago's newest show, Baseball Night in Chicago. Between Ozzie Guillen, Doug Glanville, Bill Melton, David DeJesus, there's never a dull moment. For complete listings and guest information, visit NBCSportsChicago.com/Baseball Night in Chicago.
You're listening to the Bulls Talk Podcast. Mark Schanowski joined by Dennis Krause, who is the Milwaukee Bucks radio analyst for WTMJ. Dennis, let's talk about the Bucks offseason. Really fascinating to see some of the things that they did and did not do. Of course, Jabari Parker, they were not willing to extend themselves in terms of wanting to match that contract offered by the Bulls. But when you look up and down the roster, it's going to be very interesting. Let's start with the head coach, Mike Budenholzer. oversaw a 60-win team in Atlanta a few years back with kind of a share-of-the-wealth offense, not one star. He's going to have some major challenge trying to incorporate the depth that was brought in by the front office. Is that going to be one of the things to watch in training camp, is to see how the rotation is going to be constructed?
Well, if it's a major challenge, Mark, I think it's a pleasant problem to have. I do think that he's going to be a major factor, and I would list him as their most important offseason acquisition. And that's not – I'm not trying to take a knock at Jason Kidd or Joe Prunty when I say that, but as you mentioned with Budenholzer's Hawks experience, I mean, he's been a head coach for several years in the league. He's seen situations. Of course, before that, he was a longtime assistant to Greg Popovich in San Antonio. But I just think that his mentality of knowing what it takes to win at this level is important. You're talking, Mark, about a franchise, the Milwaukee Bucks, that have not won a playoff series since 2001. And that's a stat that people are sick of hearing around here. So I think if he were to get them to a top four seed this season and a first-round playoff win, that would be seen as a major step forward.
Let's take a look at some of the offseason acquisitions made by the Bulls. Of course, they drafted NCAA tournament hero Dante DiVincenzo, and then some of the veterans, they bring back Ersan Ilyasova, who had a long and very successful run in Milwaukee before taking a tour around the league, it seems, over the last 4 or 5 years. Brook Lopez, who's a dead-eye three-point shooter, they got him at a bargain rate because the traditional old-school big has kind of fallen out of favor in the NBA. They bring in Pat Connaughton, the former Notre Dame player, a shooting guard. They bring back Shabazz Muhammad. I mean, there are a lot of guys in here that are going to be competing for playing time. And I guess we have a similar situation here in Chicago where the Bulls look like they've got 12 guys playing for 9 or 10 rotation spots. Similar situation in Milwaukee. Let's start with Brook Lopez. Milwaukee at times seemed a little bit short on three-point shooting. With the way he's developed as a three-point shooter, will he be a really good fit with the athletic players that are going to be surrounding him?
Yeah, I think so. And I think the common thread among their acquisitions is all guys that can shoot.
Right.
And that at times was not the strength of the Bucks team last season. We both know, and all of our listeners can understand, the NBA is becoming a league of shooters. And if you can't shoot from the outside, you have a problem. I think Lopez was a very shrewd acquisition, a center position that was not all that strong. And I know this is not the NBA that we grew up with, where a dominant center is a big deal, but you still have to be competent in the middle. And to Brook Lopez's credit, he's diversified his game, as you said, and can now step out and hit the three.
Of course, we remember the days when the Bucks were always bringing in older centers. They brought in Bob Lanier and Jack Sikma and Moses Malone. They kept trying to find lightning in a bottle, and it never quite worked out as well as they would have thought, although all three of those guys did make good contributions in Milwaukee. The traditional low post guy has become kind of a dinosaur, and that's why, you know, we're seeing Dwight Howard change teams every year. Do you think that is just a temporary trend, or do you think that the big man, the old low post big man, is gone for good?
Well, I do think it's somewhat cyclical, but I think there are some things that are never going to be what they were. But if you have let's say a 7'2" guy that can go to the low post and get you points at will, I still think there's a place for him in the NBA.
Yeah, as Joel Embiid is proving in Philadelphia, I mean, he'll shoot the threes occasionally and take some bad shots, but what he can do in the low post is pretty impressive. And there are a lot of other good young bigs around the NBA, guys like Karl Anthony Towns and Nikola Jokic. I mean, there are some good young bigs. It's just they're being used a lot differently than they used to be used in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. Let's look at some of the other roster moves. DiVincenzo was a guy that probably wouldn't have even stayed in the draft had he not had that incredible game in the NCAA championship contest against Michigan. He strikes me as a guy that could be really interesting. You know, a good athlete at 6'5", who can run the floor, who can knock down a three-point shot. I guess the problem for him, at least as a rookie, is going to be finding his way onto the court with so many veteran players ahead of him.
I felt, watching the Bucks last season and in the playoff loss that went 7 games to Boston, is that one of the weaknesses of the Bucks was shooting off the bench. A Kyle Korver type that can come out, hit a few threes and really change the tempo, kind of change the texture of a game. And I think if DiVincenzo can blossom, I'm not saying he's going to do this from game number one, but I think the role they envision for him is kind of that flamethrower off the bench. That's not to say, and he's the first to tell you, I'm more than just a three-point shooter. He thinks he can be a great athlete that can get to the basket as well. But with Giannis's skills getting to the basket, if you have guys spaced out around the three-point line that can hit shots, that just makes the offense very dangerous, and that's where DiVincenzo can make a difference.
You mentioned Giannis. Obviously, he's emerged as one of the top 10 players in the league, no question about it. How much more potential for growth is there with Giannis?
I think there is potential because he can get better as an outside shooter. The great thing is that he wants to be an elite player. This is not a guy satisfied out on the town basking in his current success. He's all about getting better, and he knows that there are parts of his game that need to get better. It's just been a joy to watch this kid come in as a very raw project. I mean, this was the 15th pick in the draft, and I can vividly recall being at the Bucks training center when they picked him that night. It was kind of like, who? You know, most people didn't know who this kid was, and now think of it. He has blossomed, and I think you're right. He's easily one of the top 10 players in the league, and you could make a case top five, and you could make a strong case now with LeBron with the Lakers that if Kawhi Leonard is not 100%, he's the best player in the East.
I know a lot of NBA fans are familiar with the story of Giannis Antetokounmpo. His family was in Greece, and he and his brothers were panhandling in the streets just to try to make ends meet. And, you know, he came to Milwaukee with just trying to understand the American culture and how he was going to fit in. How has he changed as a person, and is he still, you know, deeply affected by his upbringing and still retain that humility?
Yeah, I think it's hard for anybody to have the kind of superstardom now that he has and not change a little bit, even if you want to stay true to who you are, and I think he largely does. He lost his father to a premature death last fall near the start of the season, and I know that deeply affected him. I think the biggest strides that he's made is that he knows as a team leader that his work ethic kind of has to translate to more than just him. He can't do it by himself. You need a team of hungry players and guys that are going to hit big shots for you. You can't do it all. I think he's fully aware of that, and I think it's just part of the – he wants to get that playoff, you know, drought over with, and he wants to be the guy that leads the Bucks to a championship. You know, at the ribbon cutting on Sunday at Fiserv Forum, it was really quite a sight that, you know, you had Kareem sitting on the platform right next to Giannis, and
wow.
It was just it was quite a moment in Bucks history.
Getting back to the roster composition, another challenge for Mike Budenholzer is going to be, you know, that veteran backcourt, Eric Bledsoe and Chris Middleton. Both those guys, if I'm not mistaken, can be free agents at the end of the next season. Is that going to be a challenge to make sure that no selfishness creeps in, guys worrying about their stats and a potential payday next summer?
Yeah, I think it's always something that you have to concern yourself with. I think the big picture is they need to figure out who's part of their long-term vision. And maybe I'm reading too much into it, but Chris Middleton was on that stage on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Bledsoe was not. Okay.
Right.
So, you know, you read into little things like that. I think a lot of it, too, is I'm not saying that Giannis is dictating who's on the roster, but you want people that mesh well with his game and also his personality. And so that's what you look for when you're moving forward. And I think Chris Middleton, in my opinion, is an underappreciated piece of what the Bucks have. He's good on both ends. He can drain shots. Now, he's when he goes into a drought, I mean, he can have those 3-for-15 games, but he also can be lethal.
Yeah, no question. I've enjoyed watching Chris Middleton over the years, and if he does hit free agency next summer, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of teams that would be interested in acquiring his services. Dennis, before we wrap it up, you mentioned the first-round playoff series win would probably be an achievement that most Bucks fans would be happy with. I think if everything comes together, they could potentially, you know, challenge Philadelphia maybe for the 3 seed. I think the talent on the roster is that good. Is the excitement starting to build for this team and what potentially Budenholzer can do with the roster?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, as you know from having lived and worked up here, you know, when the Packers are about to start
right.
their season, they kind of dwarf everything else. But I think for Bucks fans, they look at this season as a real opportunity with LeBron James, as we talked about, being out of the East. Now, if you ask me, Boston should be the overwhelming favorite in the East.
Right.
If Kawhi Leonard is healthy and engaged, I think Toronto's going to be good. Philadelphia, to me, is an Embiid foot injury away from being a lottery team. But
exactly, yeah.
If he's healthy, you know, they're going to be in the top tier. I don't think you can dismiss what Indiana did last season. I think they made some shrewd off-season acquisitions as well. So it's not as if other teams are just going to say, come on, Bucks, it's your time. I mean, it's going to be competitive. But I do think there's a window of opportunity there for them to be one of the better teams in the East.
Well, I'll tell you one thing for sure, Dennis. After watching the Bulls get beaten over and over again by LeBron James, I am so happy he's out of the conference, and I am so looking forward to just watching Eastern Conference playoff competition this year with not, you know, with a genuine interest in, hey, anybody could win this. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, he had such a stranglehold on the East, whether in Miami or Cleveland, you know, 8 straight Eastern Conference championships, and in the Bucks and Bulls case, he was in their division. So it was doubly painful, and now that he's gone, that impediment means opportunity for somebody else, and we'll see who picks up the slack.
Yeah, can't wait to get it rolling. As we mentioned, NBA training camps will open near the end of September, and it won't be long before we've got NBA basketball to talk about again. My thanks to Dennis Krause for joining us. Dennis, look forward to your work both with the Packers and with the Bucks on WTMJ Radio, and look forward to talking to you again during the season.
All right, thanks, Mark.
Remember, you can catch all the episodes of the Bulls Talk podcast at NBCSportsChicago.com/podcast. You also can listen and subscribe at Apple, Stitcher, and Google Play. Until next time, so long, everybody.